from Kardungla Pass at 5,300 meters in the Indian Himalayas. Welcome to GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, 5 reasons why we'll all end up riding gravel bikes with full suspension.
And 2 why we won't?
Nope. It's inevitable.
Plus, the company that's had to recall almost 1 million bikes, the end of Gent-Wevelgem as we know it, new cycling sandals that are on Connor's Christmas wish list, how a former road pro showed triathletes how it's done, and how one rider failed to win the Zwift Academy despite getting to 2 finals, but still got to the World Tour. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that Mathieu van der Poel has stolen the crown of the world's best male cyclist 2025 from Pogacar at the very last moment.
How? With this. That is classic.
It is.
Well, everywhere you look at it, that is classic.
I know how skilled he is on the bike, but I was surprised.
I was surprised.
So then, Tade, the ball is now in your court.
Yeah, he's got a month to learn how to do manuals. Now, we also learnt that triathlon is far easier than road racing. Greg Van Avermaet, you remember him, tried 14 times to win the World Championships during his road career, but has just won the Half Ironman World Championships at the first time of trying.
Exactly. I mean, admittedly, it was in his age category, which is 40 to 44. But then why let nuance get in the way of offending our triathlon friends?
To be fair, mate, the 40 to 44-year-old category is basically the most competitive category around.
It only gets harder from there, mate, I can tell you.
Anyway, we're pleased to say that Greg didn't just win, he won in style. And by that, we don't mean the 5-minute margin of victory, but the fact that, yes, he was wearing socks.
Oh, we were so pleased when we saw
weren't we?
Yeah. Classy, Greg Van Avermaet. We also learned this week that thefts from bike races have continued after the end of the season. Typically, we hear of teams having all their bikes stolen from their trucks, but at a recent super prestige cyclocross race, it wasn't bikes at all.
No, instead, thieves stole a giant inflatable beer. Yes. Now, the question that I want to know the answer to is, Dan, where were you on the 26th of October, 2025?
No comment. Although it was just ahead of our anniversary for me and Lorraine.
To be fair,
nice little present.
I can't imagine you stealing a beer that you couldn't drink.
No, so, very
you
know, true.
Clearly
very
wouldn't true. Be you.
Now, this week on the GCN Show, we are talking about a topic which has in the past proven a little controversial.
Yeah, no, it's not disc brakes or tubeless tyres.
Well, they were not controversies, Si, so much as industry-wide conspiracies. Although maybe this one is too.
Well, so we've been mulling this one over a bit, haven't we? Since Trek released their new full suspension gravel bike called the Checkout. So it's got 60 millimetres of suspension front and back, 55 technically at the back, plus it's got tyre clearance for 56 millimetre wide tyres, or 2.2 inches, seeing as it's basically a mountain bike tyre.
Quite big, isn't it?
It's massive, yeah.
Now, Trek say, I'm quoting here, that it's designed to be faster than a mountain bike on tarmac roads and more capable than a rigid gravel bike on a single track. This is the ideal rig for epic off-the-beaten-track adventures, conquering the Tour Divide and everything in between.
Wowzers. We say it's a mountain bike from 6 years ago with drop bars on. Now, I am being facetious, but actually, it's kind of also not a million miles away from that, is it, really?
What we've been thinking about, though, is whether or not now is the time for suspension on gravel bikes to actually catch on.
Yes, we think it is. These are the reasons why you will inevitably end up with one too.
Yeah, we've done a list, haven't we?
A list.
Number one, the trouble with gravel bikes is that you want to keep exploring, which means inevitably you'll end up on less and less suitable trails.
It's true. Number two, bumps actually aren't fun, are they? And the slower you go, the worse the bumps get.
I know that, definitely. Three, suspension, it's just more comfortable, let's face it. And the extra weight really isn't that much of a drawback or sacrifice. Once frame geometry is specifically designed around the use of suspension forks, the bikes are just going to ride better.
Yeah, number four, suspension is actually really bloody good now, isn't it? So we have been testing it on unsuspecting mountain bikers for basically more than 30 yes. years. And now they're finally ready. It's time to take them out of beta and sell them not to mountain bikers anymore, but to roadies and gravel riders.
And the last reason why full suspension is inevitable on gravel bikes, number five, the industry is going to try and sell them to you.
I mean, I laugh, but you're kind of right. Some people will definitely try and sell you suspension. But as we always say, ultimately, it's down to us, consumers, as to whether or not we actually want to buy them.
Well, will you? Well, let me ask you a question. What percentage of gravel rides did you go on and think to yourself, you'd love to have suspension?
Well, I'm going to answer that in two parts, actually. Okay. But recently, very recently, I've been on a trip with Ollie for a forthcoming GCN video, which I've got to say, I'm very excited for you to see. I went to Bolivia. It was amazing. And actually, there were points there where I would have paid a lot of money for some suspension forks. In fact, not just forks, but full suspension.
Was it really that bad?
Well, I mean, it wasn't bad, but I will tell you a story to illustrate just how bad it got, right? So on the fourth day, we did two videos out there. On the fourth day, which was also standalone, when we were filming this epic, epic climb for Ruvi, okay? At the top, we finished filming, and I asked Ollie that if he was going to ride back down again.
And what did he do?
He said, "F that."
Crikey.
Yeah.
So what did he do?
He got in the Jeep.
What?
He got driven down the descent.
No.
Yeah. I kid you not. He was that done with bumpy descents. And it was, like, it's no slight on Ollie at all. I pretty much nearly jumped in the van.
Oh, did you really?
The only thing that was holding me back was I was too scared to get driven down this precipitous rocky descent in a 4x4.
That is very funny.
So, yeah.
He must be one of the only cyclists in history to ride up a climb and then get driven down it.
Yeah, but had he had a full suspension gravel bike, 100%, he'd have been straight down there. So, yeah, there you go. What about you then? I mean, how often are you crying out for suspension? Well, and in fact, how often are you getting into vans for descending?
Yeah. I get into vans quite a lot. Well, suspension definitely is not necessary around where I live in the New Forest National Park because we've got an abundance of gravel riding that is reasonably smooth. However, as you know, I use suspension forks at the Gralloch.
Yeah.
World Series race up in Scotland. I was very glad to have them on that course.
Which is pretty much the only reason you qualified for the Worlds.
Probably, yeah. It was quite rough up there. Whilst I didn't have suspension forks for the Sea Otter Series race in Girona.
That was the one that you whined and said it was too hard.
Yeah, it was exactly, yeah. And it was actually because someone gave me some bad advice. Someone kind of stitched me up, basically, saying I didn't need suspension forks on
Who
that course.
Who said that?
I won't name names. Anyway, I do really
wish...
It
wasn't me, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, good.
I do wish that I'd had them there because it would have made everything, I reckon, even some of the climbing, feel easier.
It did scar you, that race, didn't it?
It really did, yes. I was a wreck of a man near the finish and at the finish.
But you said you didn't need them at the World Championships.
No, I didn't need them at the World Championships. No, it was quite smooth there.
Was it?
Yeah, I didn't really need
them. Yeah, okay. To be fair... The fact that you have needed them on some and haven't on others makes you think swapping out forks will get fairly tiring fairly quickly, won't it? So I don't think that's an option. But then I also actually don't think this is about racing per se,
True.
Is it? It's whether or not non-racers, i.e. the majority of people buying bikes, are going to benefit from suspension. And I think you definitely will.
But then people are going to say, why not just buy a mountain bike?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Have you ever tried, though, to ride a modern mountain bike any distance?
No.
It's not the best. It's really not the best. Not because the suspension is not super efficient, because it is, which we've said, mountain bikers have kindly been testing it for us for 30 years. Not because the tyres aren't super efficient, because actually they are, and in some cases, I think, roll faster than gravel tyres, but simply the position that the bike puts you in sucks.
It's quite upright, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just really inefficient, basically.
Yeah. Well, even our mates over at GMBN tried to do a test of gravel bikes versus cross-country bikes in a 100-mile loop, and they found that the gravel bike was the winner.
That was embarrassing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, to this day, I can't quite believe they actually released that video to their viewers.
No, I can't. It's great, isn't it? I actually rode the first full suspension gravel bike on an assignment for GCN, you know, back in 2019.
That's 6 years ago.
Yeah, I've talked about this before. It was the Niner MCR, and I really, really liked it, okay? And I re-watched that video a moment ago just to get my, you know, head back into this debate. And my conclusion to that video, I still agree with now, right? I said that the position that a drop bar specific bike puts you in is way more comfortable for long rides and quick rides than a mountain bike. And that is why a full suspension gravel bike still has reason to exist.
Basically. It is going to be way more efficient than a modern mountain bike, really, isn't it? The more I think about it, though, the more I think that buying a 29er cross-country mountain bike from like 7 or 8 years ago could be a great idea because the geometry was similar enough to modern gravel bikes that it might just work.
Might. I feel like we need to try this before recommending that everyone heads over to Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Pretty much. The other option, though, Dan, is that we all just collectively learn what actually constitutes good gravel terrain and what doesn't. So at home, like you, I don't need suspension on my gravel bike because I simply don't ride it on trails where I would need suspension. And you know what? Flipping love it for that.
Okay. So what's our conclusion then? Well, suspension is undoubtedly coming.
Yes.
And it is great.
Yes.
But you'll need to work out in your own mind as to whether or not it's going to benefit you.
Yeah. I'd be super interested to hear what you all think about this, actually. So get involved in the comments section. My hunch is that more people will benefit from it than will realise that they benefit from it. But then there are other downsides that we haven't touched on, like maintenance and all that jazz.
I think that's probably because a lot of people are going to gravel and gravel bikes from a road background, and so don't know the benefits that you do if you come from a mountain bike background.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Get involved in the comment section down below. Let us know what you think. We'll be reading them with interest. And then Dan will be buying a retro mountain bike on Facebook Marketplace and seeing how it rides.
I've got a retro mountain bike from 8 or 9 years ago. It just needs the chainstay fixing.
You say the chainstay fixing. That doesn't sound like a do-it-yourself job.
No.
No.
I'll get Connor to do it.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts, and we will start with that news that Gent-Wevelgem is no longer, at least not by name, because the race will still take place next year, but under the new name, In Flanders Fields, from Middelkerke to Wevelgem.
Catchy.
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope that other races don't follow suit.
No, on cobbles from Compiègne to Roubaix.
Exactly. I mean, diabolical. Paris-Roubaix, if you're wondering. Anyway, in other news, we mentioned at the top of the show, Double Zwift Academy finalist Mathieu Gaffoury has finally gotten his opportunity at the very highest level of the sport, having been signed up by World Tour level Picnic Post NL.
Yeah, I am as pleased for him with that news as I was gutted for him when he didn't win last year.
Not saying.
So yeah. He clearly is a very talented lad.
Massively talented, isn't he? And fair play to him for persevering when I think many others would have got despondent after that second letdown and quit the sport. And I'm really looking forward to tracking his progress next year and beyond next year.
Actually. I want to see what Christoph the Elder and Christoph the Younger say if he wins a World Tour race next year.
Oh, can you imagine?
That would be good.
Yeah, we'll go and interview
him. That would be good, yeah. More good news now. Although potentially only for Conor Dunn. So the shoe brand Birkenstock have released, well, have they released, kind of released, some cycling specific sliders.
Mm. I actually think these might be too cool for Mr. Conor Dunn to use, if I'm honest.
I mean, to be fair, they are way cooler than Conor Dunn has ever worn. Potentially not cool enough for you, though.
No, right. I would not wear them, no. Although I did notice in the comments under the Instagram post that Audrey Cordon-Ragot said, perfection,
oh, really?
I quote, with a fire emoji as well, whilst Evie Richards said, so good. And I am reasonably confident in saying that both of them have more fashion sense than I do.
Yes. I mean, I don't know for certain, given that cardigan you wore in the first ever GCN show.
Oh, crikey.
The world of cycling is just about to get a hell of a lot less complicated.
That's on the verge of becoming fashionable, I believe, 13 years ago.
Unfortunately, moths got to that cardigan.
Oh, so did they?
It's no longer a bit like Gent-Wevelgem. Anyway, whilst we are off topic, could I just say congratulations to Vitomir Maricic, who's just broken the world record for being underwater. How long do you reckon he was underwater for?
Sorry, is this guy anything to do with cycling?
Nope.
11 minutes?
No, 29 minutes. And 3 seconds underwater with no breathing apparatus, holding his breath, basically.
Is Maricic a whale?
Almost, verging on it, yeah. He's not human, that's for sure.
Crikey. Anyway. Okay. Can we get back to cycling now?
Yeah, let's get back to cycling now.
Okay.
Chinese brand BYD have launched an ad campaign in Australia that's drawn the ire of many people because it suggests that anyone not in their latest car, which intrigued me, Si, is called a Sea Lion 6, is stuck in the dark ages driving a horse-drawn cart or, shock horror, riding a cargo bike.
Do you think it's really called a Sea Lion 6? That's a very non-futuristic name for an electric car company. A Sea Lion.
Especially one that's taking the mick out of people using more archaic forms of transport like as they see it.
Sea Lion.
You reckon?
I mean, it's spelled Sea Lion.
I very rarely mispronounce things, Si, but yeah, it is spelled Sea Lion.
I mean, if you write Sea Lion, people are going to say Sea Lion. I personally don't want to drive a Sea Lion. But you know what as well? Right, in response to their advert, if someone wants to spend a crap load of money on an electric car in order to sit in a traffic jam, I'm okay with that. I will take the freedom of a Victorian cargo bike any day of the week.
Yeah. I'm with you, Si.
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
A bit more pro racing news now. Bahrain Victorious is switching bikes from Merida over to Bianchi and Total Energy from NV to Cube, who were, of course, used by Antomarché, who are merging with Lotto, who use Orbea. If that makes sense.
Clear as mud. Yeah, doesn't it? Any idea where Merida are going?
I don't. I've not heard anything in terms of them being linked to another team, but maybe I've missed something. They're a big company after all.
Well, what we do know is that they've launched a new gravel bike.
Great segue. An out-and-out
race bike, thanks, called The Mission, which I like. I'm on a mission down today.
Nice.
They're saying it's been designed for European-style gravel races.
Yeah, Euro-style that don't need suspension forks.
Hell no. Not only suspension forks, but... not even wide tyres, are
they? Well, no, yeah, I was about to say, I think they mean it's like a road bike with clearance for only 40mm tyres. It is a lovely looking bike, but I'll be interested to see whether or not it gets traction as a gravel bike.
But
or whether this is the new road bike. And you know what? Judging from the comments under the video that Alex and Connor put out at the weekend, I think this is what lots and lots of people are thinking at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. Get a gravel race bike that's basically a road bike with wider tyres and use it as a road bike or occasionally on smooth gravel tracks, as opposed to gravel tracks that make you wish that you were on a full suspension bike and questioning your life choices. Right, last bit of racing news, we'll kind of reverse a little bit. In spite of the Israel Premier Tech team dropping Israel from the team name ahead of next season, Premier Tech are stepping down as that co-headline sponsor.
Yeah, which must have sent a few alarm bells ringing, but the team later sent out an internal memo to the riders and staff to say they'd be continuing as planned in 2026. So it sounds like this won't result in a load of lost jobs, which is obviously a good thing.
No, I guess that's the bonus when your team is bankrolled by a billionaire, right?
It is.
Yeah. Right, now back to gravel tyres. By the way, we're just kind of going back again. Yeah. Pirelli have started making some of their gravel tyres in Italy, like the top-end road tyres have of late, and they are touting performance boosts to match that of the road ones.
Wow. The upshot is a high-performance range with new carcass and compound, which gives lower rolling resistance, but also higher puncture protection.
Yeah, happy days. Hmm. They also have a new retro light tan sidewall, as well as the black and the brown options currently available. And I think they look great.
I thought you might, Si. Yes, I thought you might. Now, there was some bad news last week for Peloton, who recalled close to 900,000 bikes.
Whoa.
And apparently, there have been three reports out of those 900,000 of seat post failures. So they're asking users to stop using the model until those seat posts are replaced.
Yowzers. Both to a seat post failure, which doesn't sound pleasant, but also the implications.
Mm.
Ironically enough as well, Peloton recalled over 2 million units of a previous model, also for a seat post issue. That was in 2023.
Yeah.
Strangely, their share price has gone up slightly since the latest recall. Although at just under $8, it's some way from its peak of $160 a share during COVID.
Oh, man. Imagine if you invested in them during COVID. Crikey.
Ouchie.
Finally, we'll leave you with something to think about from physiologicallyspeaking.com. Should you be eating more walnuts and pomegranates? Science seems to suggest that you should.
There you go. It was a question that I've not been asking myself, but there we go. Apparently, both of these foods are high in ellagic acids.
Oh, ellagic acids.
Yeah, which are converted to something called urolithin A in your gut by your microbes. Now, this compound, urolithin A, has been linked to improved mitophagy, which is the process...
Is it not mitophagy?
No, I'm pretty sure it's mitophagy.
Is it really?
I think so. I wait to be corrected.
I've just been waiting for you to sort of mispronounce something after my Sea Lion.
Mitophagy. No, I think it's phage.
Crikey.
I think it's mitophagy. Anyway.
Mitophagy. Anyway, carry on.
I'm going to spell it for everyone. Mitophagy. make of that what you will. Right. Anyway, it is, whatever it is, the process of clearing damaged mitochondria from your cells and then promoting the growth of new ones. So pretty beneficial.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you want to supplement urolithin A, it's quite pricey though, as an ingredient, at over £100 a month, but it might complement maybe your oversized pulley wheels quite nicely. You could just load up on pomegranates and walnuts.
Well, as it happened, Dan, two pomegranates have mysteriously turned up in my veg box delivery this week. Christ. Not often that happens. So if my commute time is dramatically improved next week, perhaps it won't be down to my new fixie, but actually all my new mitochondria.
I was going to ask you, how is your fixie?
It's good.
Yeah.
I've got very sore legs, and I feel like it might have spelled the end to my zone 2 rides to work.
Shame.
But watch this space for the full video coming soon.
Fantastic stuff.
I'm enjoying myself.
Just before we finish Cycling Shorts, actually, we are going to promo our new line of autumnal casual wear, which obviously we haven't received just yet. We've got one design, though, across a number of colours in both T-shirts and hoodies.
Yeah, so there should be a QR code on screen that you can scan to head straight to our shop, or there will be a link in the description below.
If you like the look of them, any purchase is always very much appreciated. Our shop is one of the ways that we fund all our free-to-view videos. So thank you for your support.
Yeah, absolutely. And you too would get to look as cool as Dan.
Got sandals on under it.
Yeah.
Next up, hack /bodge of the week. This, of course, is part of the show, or one of the parts, where you lot can get involved. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader to upload your hacks and bodges or welcomes to the GCN show.
I was away for 1 week, Dan. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to hack
getting back into this.
Yeah,
happy 100%. Days. Kai Cycle brings the first one in his day, 3D printed Garmin mounted phone holder for Zwift. So Kai says, I've seen loads of ads recently for a Garmin mounted mounted magnetic phone holder to use with Zwift. I was about to buy one when a thought struck me. I've got an old magnetic phone holder in my car. I wonder, can I design and print a mount that will attach to my Garmin mount? Of course I can. I set to work and came up with what I think is a pretty neat way to repurpose a disused mount. Holds my phone perfectly, keeps my phone within reach for dropping thumbs ups, but crucially, out of sweat slash range. Is that me?
I think those are two different things, sweating and slashing, aren't they?
Well, sweat slash rained, I guess.
Oh, right.
I even had some Zwift orange filament to print it in. Mission accomplished.
There you go. I mean, to be fair, Dan, you had me at 3D printed, but the fact that it has repurposed a piece of tech from something else and even is in matching Zwift orange, I think that's great.
Fantastic.
I mean, I can't quite work out how it works, but I think it's great.
88 beats per minute, was that, taking that photo?
Crikey. That's even lower than Connor was during the presenter race. When he was supposed to be going full gas.
Yeah. Very good. That's a hack from me as well, then.
Yeah. Jay Gaffey sent this one in. Cable ties versus an all-category climb. Guess who won? It's intriguing. Anyway, he said, I'm submitting Graham Rutter's ingenious solution for a broken shifter cable. It deserves its moment on Hack or Bodge. Now this, Dan, is a way of fixing a broken shifter cable that I've not seen before. So for podcast listeners, there is a tubeless valve wedged into the parallelogram of a very nice looking Shimano GRX rear derailleur and then zip tied into place. And I think by wedging it into the parallelogram, it's keeping the chain midway through the cassette. So anyway, what Jay has said is that we were on day 4 of the Great Southeastern Loop, an adventure race in Australia covering over 1,263 kilometres with some very isolated sealed and gravel roads, about 20K from the base of one of Australia's longest climbs, a 20K ascent gaining 1,300 metres from Tom Groggin to Dead Horse Gap. Disaster struck. Graham Rutter fixed this with a fix that proved once and for all there's a place for cable ties. And Jay's contribution was the tubeless tire valve.
Nice.
So there we go.
End it by saying, if that's not a proper bodge, I don't know what is. Well, I'm going to say roadside hack for that
one. I'm going to say roadside hack, yeah. As long as it's been fixed since then. But I would imagine it has. I mean, it looks painful for the derailleur.
Does a bit,
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, there are less bodgy ways of fixing a broken rear derailleur cable, if I may say so. But, you know,
yeah,
I'm cool with that.
Right, moving on. Twan _S. I like this title. Gobbins, or whatever Connor calls this. Gubbins, it is.
Gubbins.
I used my 3D printer to make a nice aware fixing a frame bag. My top stone has two screws on the underside of the horizontal tube. I made two blocks with chamfered space to screw on the frame bag and two matching blocks screwed to the tube. The bag is mounted by sliding the blocks over each other from the back and is secured with just the one strap.
That is pretty neat.
I really like this one.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know what those two bolts underneath your top tube are doing, presumably to attach a frame bag to. But the fact that you've managed to work it out of your own accord, hats off to you.
I think that's so neat.
Yeah, wicked. It looks a little bit like the Canyon Grail ones that have got the magnetic fidlock.
Oh, yeah.
That's blooming neat as well. But hey, if you haven't got that on your bike, make your own.
Hack from me.
Yeah, hack from me too. And then we're going to finish this one with from Nathan Smith Manley, a bike packing shelter hack. When your bike becomes your tent frame. So again, for podcast listeners, we've got two bikes upside down with a tarpaulin pulled tight over the top of them. So the bikes are effectively acting as tent poles. And then two sleeping bags neatly underneath. So there you go, simple tarp, two bikes and a bit of creativity. Turn a forest clearing into the perfect minimalist camp. No poles, no problem. So there you go. Thank you very much, Nathan. I think that one's a hack as well, isn't it?
I'd say so, yeah. If I was a podcast listener, Si, and I heard the description, I'd be thinking to myself, bodge. But actually, when you look at the photo, it does look rather neat, doesn't it? Although not really protecting you from many elements except for rain without any wind.
Well, I mean, that's kind of that's what tarps are like, isn't it, really? They're fairly rudimentary. But
well, I'll give it a hack because I think it looks much better than I would expect it to.
Maybe, Dan, it's a country that isn't afflicted with British weather. Yeah. And actually, instead of
sort
rain
of looks
and wind,
that way, yeah.
Well, instead of rain and wind, maybe it's sun that they're seeking shelter
true.
From. That'd be nice, isn't it? There we go. Is that four hacks?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Oh, crikey. Yeah. There we go. Right, keep them coming. We want some more next week, please. Time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you have to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. Before we give you the photo for this week's competition, we'll do, of course, the results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one of Jasper Philipsen dipping his head in an ice bucket after the Singapore Criterium. Our winner is Edward Lee, who put Caption Competition, cycling, freeze your mind.
That is good.
Really good.
Edward,
I wish I'd have thought of that.
Freeze your mind, just in case. Hopefully it's flashed on screen and you can see the hilarious wordplay. But no, I think that's a cracker. Right, this week's competition. Oh, get in touch, by the way. We'll send you your bottle. This week, is it that time of year where some of cycling's biggest stars get humiliated at the Saitama Criterium?
It's the time of year when we build up a bank of caption competition photos. Si,
of cycling's biggest stars in embarrassing situations.
Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, no sumo wrestling.
No
year.
Sumo wrestling?
No.
Oh!
No.
What do they have to do instead?
Well, I mean, since they haven't, let's put up the picture of Chris Froome in a sumo suit right now so people can laugh at that. But the fact they did, well, you're about to see one of the activities they had this year.
Okay.
So here's the photo for this week is Jonas Vingegaard proudly displaying his drawing. I will get you started. In cycling, there are winners and losers, but you can't draw.
Nice. See what you did there, mate.
Thanks.
I mean, I don't think he can draw either, can he?
I wouldn't be much better, but no, that's a fairly poor effort.
Also, I've never thought...
Nice signature, though.
I very like nice signature, yeah. I've never thought of Jonas as a beardy kind of chap, but he's very optimistically covered his face in some fuzz there.
Well, you reckon they have to draw themselves? I mean, you can't really tell who he's drawn, can you?
I assume it's a self-portrait.
Is that a mirror in front of him so you can see what he looks
yeah,
like?
Yeah, with those narrow little shoulders, it looks a bit like Jonas, isn't it?
Long neck, isn't it?
Incredible victory from Jonas at the Saitama Criterium, wasn't it?
I know, the way he dropped Roglic with 2Ks to go and held off the sprinters.
Yeah, incredible. I've rarely seen power like that.
And he crashed midway through the race.
Remarkable as well, to win a sprint like that at, what, about 30 kilometres an hour?
Yeah.
It was a really impressive race. Oh, man. Okay. Right, yeah. What are we doing now?
Put your captions in the comments below. We'll pick a winner next week.
There you go.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, but first up, as ever, we've picked out a few of our favourite comments from last week's videos, starting underneath the GCN show, which talked about some bike races that happened to be fixed sometimes.
Not like the Saitama criterion, no.
Courtney Humper, I think pros joining local group rides like Vanderpool did recently in LA is the way to go. Way more intimate, lots of social media posts, and a whole load of fun for everyone.
To be fair, that is a great idea.
It's a good idea.
Isn't it? Like, I don't understand... Well, I mean, I do understand why more pros don't do it, because it's a pain, really, isn't it? Like, it's probably the last thing they want to do when they're on holiday. But still, it's such a cool thing when they do.
It is.
So, yeah. Another reason why MVDP is best male bike race for 2021. Well, to be fair, Tadej Pogačar organised a race, didn't he?
Yeah, and we did quite well out of that, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, we smashed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Well done us.
Higo 64 was actually at the Singapore race. Said the main race was a waste of time. We were more interested in the real races taking place amongst the locals competing in their different categories. Many of us either saw or rode with some of the pros on the days leading up to the fixed race.
Okay.
With the wealth of Singapore Tourism Board, I'm sure they could put up enough prize money to make the main pro race a real deal.
It's a blooming long way from Europe, Singapore, though. That's the trouble, isn't it?
And quite a long way from the end of the season, so no one's really very fit. Except for Vingegaard, he seems really quite fit.
Yeah, it's absolutely flying, isn't it? Yeah, poor old Roglic was nowhere to be seen. Chris Capoccia. Other sports have exhibition events, for example, boxing. If people know it's an exhibition, people still want to see their stars ride hard, so let them ride. Yeah, to be fair, if you go and see it in the flesh, it probably is a bit better, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
And the drawing.
And the drawing as well, yeah. I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Meanwhile, underneath the video where I went up to see World Junior Road Race Champion Harry Hudson, Kevin wrote in to say, what came across to me in this interview was not only Harry's amazing ability as an athlete, but the equally fabulous job his parents have done and are doing, raising such impeccably mannered and confident, self-believing children. So chapeau to mum and dad.
Yeah, fair play. Joshua Voice said, I love that you're promoting young cyclists. Well done, Dan, for that one. And Rudy Dwihartanto, the guy on... What's that?
Red, in the red.
The guy in the red GCN jersey looks so promising that Hudson kid is all right.
Exactly. It was lovely to meet him, though. He is a very switched-on lad, or man, I guess, at this point. Now he's 18.
Yeah.
I think he is going places, just because clearly he's talented on the bike, but just his mentality seems so much more mature than his 18 years of age.
Yeah. Fair play. Well, yeah, it'd be interesting to watch this space, wouldn't it?
It will.
Do you know what proportion of, like, junior world champs that make it as like, senior?
Not quite small. I mean, obviously, Evenepoel was a pretty big junior star, won the world's championships. I guess Vanderpool in the world of cyclocross as well, wasn't he, from quite a young age? But, yeah, if you think about Pogacar, Roglic, Vingegaard, no one had heard of them as juniors, had they?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. But, yeah, fingers crossed for Harry, for sure.
One bike for all rides, that was a Connor and Alex. Shirt Zoo put one bike, two sets of wheels, enough for 99%. Douglas Paper, as an owner of 10 bikes and 18 sets of wheels, I'm not sure why I watched this video, though it has reinforced the goal to buy that gravel bike I've been promising myself for more than 3 years.
So that
wait for the suspension.
11 bikes and 20 sets of wheels then, I guess.
What, he's going to get two sets of wheels with a gravel bike?
Well, that's what Connor and Alex said, so, you know.
I see what you mean.
Presumably, yeah. Juan Peak said, I go for practicality over style, in quotes, as if that hasn't been made clear in every video ever. Connor, king of the handlebar bag. And the Tiva sandals, and
And I mean, to be fair, Gubbins.
Yeah, there's obviously no style to Connor, but I do think that.
I mean, that was very direct.
Well, you know, it's what we've been talking about. I do think that with handlebar bags, there's also not much practicality either.
No.
Well, I mean, the aerodynamic drag.
Yeah, but they're practical.
You just stick it somewhere else. Mm. Put it behind
it's
you.
It's not as easy to get anywhere else. Anyway,
Alex
also did a video last week on Thursday that talked about where you should be sitting on your saddle. Basically, you're sitting on your saddle wrong, quite potentially. Lucas Dornauer, but then there is Andrew Feather, who's not sitting on the saddle at all. You can't sit wrong in the saddle if you're not sitting in the saddle, which is a very good point, I thought.
Very good point, yeah. Philip Humphrey said, it's taken me ages to find a saddle that doesn't give me any problems. It's one of Selitalia's cheap models that I have on all my bikes. I just hope they don't change it.
R. Bond on 3880, another great video on a topic I thought would be meh at best. Makes you rethink the whole bike fit approach. It did do a great job of that video.
It did, yeah. And to be fair, like, it is one of those things where people often say, like, oh, my saddle's not very comfortable. But as we said in the video, chances are it might not be your saddle. Mm. Could be something else you're doing wrong.
Right then, what's coming up on GCN this week? Well, on Thursday, it's a video that I know the title to, but nothing about. It's called No Gain in This Pain.
Yeah. So you know how the more popular phrase, no pain, no gain, is all about basically you put up with pain to get better. Well, this video is about sometimes you should listen to the pain because it's actually not going to do you any good.
Right.
So there you go. There is no gain in this pain. Watch the video to find out what that pain is.
Right. On Saturday, hopefully, if I manage to get myself a VO2 max test between now and Saturday, we'll be releasing a video that's kind of a 12-month update after my sort of health and fitness journey.
To be fair, the tests that you've done already, the results, quite striking, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I've done one of the two tests that I planned on doing.
No spoilers.
No, but yeah, VO2 max is hopefully on the way, and we'll see whether I've managed to improve my body's ability to consume and use oxygen.
There you go. You certainly did better at the Gravel World Champs this year than you would have done last year. That's for sure.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have qualified last year.
Yep.
Although my running has gone to pot. Anyway, might touch on that in the video. And on Sunday, carbs versus protein. This is another one with Alex and Connor.
Yeah, this is super interesting, right? So they did a test, didn't they, to find out whether a high carb or a high protein breakfast, like whether there's a difference, basically, when you go out on your bike. So there you go, check that one out. See what happens. Mm.
Right. Thank you as ever for watching. Looking forward to hearing your comments and opinions on full suspension gravel bikes or even just front suspension. We'll be with you again this time next week.
Yeah, I'm going to go ride my fixie home and try and not die.
Good luck.
Thanks.